I know it's the will of the Lord. Let me open up by saying Friday was a wonderful time if you're at the wedding, and beautiful ceremony with a good brother, Jerome, and Sister Corinne, and you know what God is going to do in their lives. But as Bishop was saying stuff on the stage, marrying the two couples, he was saying scripture, and there was things that were popping out at me, and it just settled in my heart all weekend. Amen. Okay. But everyone just hold on. And this morning I'm praying. I'm sleeping this morning, and this dream just pops into my head. We're in this big grand church, and I'm just walking in with all my brothers and sisters here. We're just walking in the opening of the sanctuary. It wasn't here. It was at I can't even describe the kind of large-scale church this was. But we're all gathered, and Bishop and Elder Laksamana is saying, Brother Jeremy, you're going to share today. You're going to share something today. And so I'm immediately getting nervous, and I'm running, behind. I know prayer is starting, and I'm going elsewhere in the sanctuary trying to remember the scriptures. Lord, okay, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of Christ. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, where is it? And I can't find it. So I'm trying to go in these sections in this big church, and I can't think of the scripture. And I think one of the little kids runs up to me and he says, okay, you're up now. Just go. But I knew it was in Romans 1. This is where we're going today. If my brother Bryson over there can get Romans 1 put up on the scale. Let me pull out my phone. Verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 16. And I wake up, and I knew that God was putting this scripture on my heart. So I just sat up, prayed a little bit, and I'm going in Romans 1 all morning. And then I get here, we go into the discipleship class, and Brother James is just talking about Romans chapter 1. And I'm thinking, okay, where is this going? Lord, you want me to share this? Okay. And I want everyone to say this word, public affection. Public affection, okay? I don't know. We'll see where this goes, okay? Let's read verse 16 together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. For I am not ashamed. Paul is writing this to a church that is in the midst of abominable things in Rome, where they have many pagan gods. But yet there are people called out of the world, and they are filled believers, but yet he's saying, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And as it references back to Friday when Bishop is telling, he's charging Brother Jerome to love Sister Corinne, and this is in the book of Ephesians, I think, and to love your wife and to adore her and to protect her and to love her out in public. And God was impressing my heart, this is my bride. The church is his bride. It says it in Ephesians. And we are supposed to be out there representing the church of God, representing the word and the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is what? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. I'll open up with this testimony. You know, many of us, we come, we get the Holy Ghost, and there's this zeal on us, and we want to reach the world, and maybe it's not the Lord's timing for us to reach almost, you know, everyone in our family and our coworkers, everyone around us. But in the Lord's timing, there's always this season of open minds and open spirits and people around us. And for one case in my family, I have a cousin whose name is Brian. I shared this testimony maybe once. Brother James, you know about it. But out of everyone, I've been sort of, everyone I've come across, I've sort of held back a little bit because not necessarily I was afraid of the repercussion, what they would think of me, you know, of how they would probably cut me out of their lives. Me relying on my own strength. I know everyone in here has a burden for people. And this two particular cousins of mine, they lost both their mom and their dad at an early age. And coming back from Iraq, I was also depressed. I was in a season, this is before I got the Holy Ghost, before I came to the church. Very depressed, and I was just lost. And so I was, I've always had them on my heart. But I've never been able to open up to my cousin in particular, whose name is Brian. But I know God was impressing on my heart, hey, I want you to share this. I love that guy. I love that guy. And I would look for opportunities. And for some reason, I would pull back. I was ashamed of what would happen, the repercussion, what he would think of me, what my other family members would think. I wasn't as always bold as this. And, you know, there's still progress right now. You know, there's many of us work out there and at our normal jobs, and there's people that God has placed in your lives, and you're waiting for those opportunities, and sometimes you feel that tug in your heart to share, and then but the gospel is hidden sometimes, or even your family members. And one particular men's conference in Gig Harbor, God shows me them, my cousin clearly as day, in a suit, and he's getting ready for church, and I'm like, what is this, Lord? You're showing me my cousin. Thank you. Like, this is a blessing just to see him even serving and worshiping you. Where is this going? And then all of a sudden, he says, I want you to offer me. I want you to offer me and do the rest. Okay, that's all you have to do. Offer the word. Don't rely on your own capabilities, but just offer me and I will do the rest. I will pour out a blessing upon his heart. I will have mercy on him. So come to Sunday night. I'm praying again about it, and the Lord's just reconfirming everything. Just offer me. Take him out to dinner and just offer the word. Tell him a little about me. How good have I been in your life, Jeremy? Boast about what I have done in your life, and I will do the rest. And surely, I'm driving home after church Sunday, and then right before I get home, I get a text message from my cousin Brian, and he says, hey, bro, do you want to go out to eat? And I said, all right. So this is it, Lord. This is it. You said just to take him out to eat and offer. I can't, you know, I love it when the Lord pours out his blessing like right away. It's a confirmation. It doesn't happen like that, and there's a blessing in waiting. But this, I thank the Lord for that, because my heart was just, I was overwhelmed. I was already full from our fellowship, but I said, Brian, I can eat. I can eat again. So I go out to eat pho with him, and you know, I'm waiting for that perfect opportunity. I'm waiting. And we get our pho, and we open up with prayer. And I see a little bit of tug inside of him. And it does something to me. I know, Lord's saying, do it now. And I say, hey, Brian. So on Friday, I was at a conference. And this is the first time in 2 years I'm actually talking to my cousin about Christ. It took 2 years to me to finally open up to him. While I was trying to chase everyone else out there, sharing the gospel out here in Kent Station, trying to hand out tracts, I thought that was outreach. But here it is now. God was trying to minister to somebody right in front of me. And his season was open, and I tell him that this testimony about, I saw you in a clear vision, brother. And I saw you in a suit. I don't know what that means, but I want to let you know that I love you. The Lord loves you. And what happened to me in my life and in my sister's lives is true. And finally, he breaks down and he opens up. And I got to see another side of my cousin I've never saw. I thought he was a hardened heart, you know, cold. When I would play gospel music, he would curse at it and he would turn up his other music. And I'm thinking, what is this new side? And he said, you know, I've been fighting God my whole life, Jeremy. You know, after the loss of my mom back in 2010, I was even trying to think of committing this. And, you know, it was a loss. Those years were tough. I remember that. And I was actually depressed quite a bit. And he said, but I've been fighting God. And every now and then when I feel like I just want to end my life, he would send a word of God to me. And right now, this is the perfect timing. For some reason, and you know, to this day, I know a couple of us have met my cousin, but you know, he's not in the church yet, or he's not filled with the Holy Ghost. But those moments are when I'm not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel. Okay? I'm supposed to just open up and just let the leading of the Lord flow. Amen. This is the public affection. And, you know, as the Lord is dealing with me to share this message about marriage and a husband and a wife, how Bishop was telling Jerome to publicly take care of her and show her off to the world. That she is taken just as bride, as the church is the bride of Christ. Amen. Just to show to the world, like, we are taken. We are taken. We are not taken by the world or the cares of this life. I wear Jehovah Nissi. He is, what does the song say, Brother Reggie? He reigned in victory, or he is my banner, right? He is my banner. I wear him, and a banner is something that you wear as representing what era you were from, what company you belong to in the military, okay? What state, what service, what branch we are. And if we are conformed to the conversation of this world, Romans also, it says that be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if my conversation at work is the same manner as the conversation in the workplaces, in the break rooms, when it's ugly, right? Then where is the difference? Where is my light being shown? Amen. You guys are the light of this world, as anyone that's standing on this platform ministering, okay? Ministry is at your workplace. It is the greatest place of revival. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray for a little bit. And Bryson, can we go to Genesis chapter 3? Lord, have your way in our minds, Lord. Lord, speak right now in the name of Jesus. Let us not be ashamed, God, of your word, but Lord, we wear it as an ephod unto this world in the name of Jesus. Thank you in the name of Jesus. You know, there's a desire in a person's heart that really captures the Lord's attention. And it'll bring that shame below you. And it brings out the Lord's love in a person's life where there's so much anointing and there's so much authority where you walk. It captures that hungry soul that's around you. And even all this morning, I couldn't even get one. There's a youth in here that the Lord was showing me his face. There's such a desire inside of his heart of the Lord, you know, like in a marriage, Bishop, you reference it to, like, you know, the longer that you're married, you can finish people's your sentences. And, like, there's this youth in here. The Lord kept on impressing in my heart that he sees all of the desire, the heartfelt worship inside of your heart, and you're almost finishing the Lord's voice, his sentences as he's trying to speak. I just wanted to share that, but Bryson, you have such a love and a desire inside of your heart, and I can feel it in the Holy Ghost that something is going to break out. You just keep worshiping God the way that you are outside of here. And the point of marriage, you know, this is another reason why I was dealing with the Lord. Lord, why? I'm not even married. I can't speak to them about marriage. I don't know that intimacy level, like how it is. You know, there's some single, if there's the youth, the hyphen, I know, but I do know the Lord. I know people and I know the souls and I know the desires of the Lord, and I love him with all of my heart. Amen. So, and I exalt him. I'm nobody special, church, but I just exalt him outside of this place, and I spend quality time. We're talking about public affection and shame and quality time. That anointed Elder Laxman, Brother Miko, was saying it here, and I just felt the confirmation. That prayer time in the back today, I needed that. It was, Brother Brian, you were sitting behind me. Brother James is over here, and we're just worshiping, but Elder Miko's just walking around. Sister Tara, you're there praying. Sister Irish, you're offering these cries unto the Lord. The Lord, it's making intercession. There's something going on in the back, and it's starting to make intercession for us out here and outside of these walls. It's the quality time, the personal relationships times that's going to make us unashamed. It's the power of God, okay, of the gospel. It's the only thing that'll give us strength and manna to continue this walk. Amen. Let's read through Genesis real quick, and I will read it. We'll start from verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And we know the scenario. I'm going to skip down. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. They go into the dialogue of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not to eat. And the, verse 7, and the eyes of both of them were opened after and Adam both ate. Here we go, verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know, going through Romans chapter 1 today, and Lord impressing that on my heart, this immediately popped into my head, into my spirit, about the first time shame came into the earth. Is when they disobeyed the Lord and they sowed. They knew that they were naked and they tried to cover their sin. And I remember when Sister Darlene was saying, when we sin and we fall away from God, we shouldn't run away and try to hide it and cover more of the world upon it to numb the pain. But we should be running into God. Bryson, can you go to let's rewind chapter 2, verse 25. Now we're going backwards in the scripture, amen. Chapter 2, verse 25. Amen. It says, and they were both naked. This is before the sin. And they were both naked, the man and his wife. And what does it say? And were not ashamed. They were not ashamed of the natural use, of the natural creation. We were naturally created to worship God and to be comfortable with this. With our relationship with God, this marriage that he has between us and God, amen? But then when sin came into the world, what did the first thing that they heard him walking in the cool of the day, and they automatically hid. They hid themselves, amen? And I know that some of us, even me, sometimes when I feel like I'm not walking with the Lord up here, not walking in like in the spirit at this level, and I'm fasting and I'm praying and things are going great, there's revival. Sometimes my flesh says, hey, just take a little break and just sit down, relax, and, you know, watch this or listen to this. This is this is really tuning your ears, you know. It has a good beat. It has good this and that, right? The power of worship, the music. And it's most... in its first form, it was made for what? To worship God. To worship God. In all his glory and all of his majesty. I don't know why the Lord is taking me here, but I'm telling you, this is for someone in here, okay? Be careful. Because all of that music, it's fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And it's sowing fig leaves upon your sin. And you're going further away from the Lord. So when the Spirit of God is moving in the cool of the day, like in this service, and your heart is cold, and you can't understand the voice of the Lord, it's because of all of this, all the fig leaves, and all the sowing. You're trying to hide more and more and more as I'm speaking. As the word of the Lord goes forward, it's not having conviction anymore inside your heart. So you draw further and further away from the Lord. And then you feel ashamed when somebody asks you, why are you a Christian? Why do you do this? Or are they even coming to you to ask whether you are a Christian? What is the difference between this person and this person? Amen. Verse 25 says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed of the original creation, of the original worship of God. Amen. Somebody just pray with me for a little while. Lord, I pray that for whoever this word is for a group, Lord, that we want to grow, Lord, in thee. But let your word be accomplished, Lord, in those that will truly seek you. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You know, this all reminds me of scriptures jumping out, you know, saying, in these last days, it would be just as in the days of Noah. They were giving and drinking, right, in these last days, right here. We are living in the last days, in this last hour before the Lord comes. And if you have been watching in the spirit and watching things even in the news in Jerusalem, you know that the hour is coming. But you have to look at Noah. You have to look at Noah and say, he walked in obedience and he was counted by faith. And it says it in Hebrews 11. Even in the midst of all of the sinners, yet he still was not ashamed. When you go back to Paul's writing in Romans chapter 1, he was not ashamed of the word of God, for it was life, it was power unto salvation. He preached to sinners. He preached to the people that didn't want to hear it. He preached to the world. He still walked in obedience, and he was saved, him and his whole household, amen. Despite everything, and despite what was his persecution, despite what people would think about him. You know, there's times in my workplace, I have this forklift, and I never wanted to put any decals or scriptures on it. But for some reason, just this past couple months, Brother James, we're at the store, and I just bought a couple decals, put one on my car. And I said, you know, I'm not ashamed. Before I would think, oh, this is pagan. This is a pagan icon. I don't even have nothing to do with it. Or, you know, or is that a cop-out for me saying, I don't want that on my car because I don't want people to, you know, they might think of me. They might see me worshiping in my car. But that's public, right? That's easy. But now it gets harder when you deal with people that you see with Monday through Friday. I'm telling you, this is touching a lot of people right now. I can feel it. For the first 3 years, I've worked at my job for not a long time, 6 years. For the first 3 years, I think, I don't know if maybe only a few people knew that I was a Christian. You know, I'd run home and, hey man, are you jumping on Xbox tonight? Oh yeah, let's go out and eat. And you know, that's you know, it's no salvation issue. I'm conformed to the conversation, to the lifestyle, to everything that is fitting to what this world is designed to do, to occupy our time, to entertain us. And to these souls that are looking for something different, for a way of escape, for the truth, could they see it in that Jeremy? No, Brother Jeremy, you are just like them. You are conformed in their same manner of speech, in their same video games. What is this? What is the difference between you? Do you even have a prayer life? Oh, now unforgiveness. Now I'm trying to come. Now here comes the subtle serpent coming into my life because I'm not walking in the spirit. It's nothing like alcohol. It's not like sex. It's nothing dramatic in horns. But here comes unforgiveness. An offense happens between me and a coworker. And it just so happens to be that his name is Jesus. You know. And we were good. We're great friends for that first year and a half, and then all of a sudden, boom, an offense. And I take it. I got the Holy Ghost. I know there's many of you in the Holy Ghost right now, and you're probably dealing with this very scenario. Something happened. When you see each other every day, here comes the enemy whispering, oh, that offense, man, how dare he or she did this? And it just builds and builds and builds, and it's like poison, and it grows and grows, and you don't know, and you come here. I was coming to the altar, old sanctuary, still Holy Ghost, still worshiping God, every praise, you know, still doing, giving my tithes and offerings. Outreach stopped. Prayer life stopped. The word stopped. That probably hurt me the most. There was shame, unforeseen shame, just entering into my life because I couldn't see, I couldn't hear, discern the voice of this subtle creature and the voice of the Lord. He was walking in the cool of the garden, and I backed away. And there was no quality time with the Lord. It was quality fellowship time with the world and the things of this world. I don't mean this to be too hard, but I want to show somebody in here that wants to take this and walk out of here and hold it dear to their heart, because this will help that person that is praying right now, that was praying last night because their marriage is on the brink of divorce. We don't know all these things that are happening in everyone's lives, but we pray unto God that is, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at every single moment, and he's so attentive unto every single cry. And he's looking for these earthen vessels as us to move and to speak through. My manager told me maybe a month ago, I shared this with you, Brother James. He said, Jeremy, or he says, Casa, man, you're really going to a lot of these conventions and conferences. I didn't know you were, like, really a church guy. Because he knew about me for the first 3 years versus these last 3 years. These last 3 years, thank you, Jesus, for such a magnificent change. And I want to tell you, it's not too late, okay? It's not too late. And just these last 3 years, there's been such a development in the workplace. It's at both jobs. And I thank the Lord for allowing me just to even be able to share words of, you know, a little bit of the word. Not ashamed of the break room when they're saying this and that, oh yeah, whatever, just hypocrites. And my manager saying, it's just a book. My manager from the gym says it. Jeremy, you know, this is real life. We don't believe in a book. But just standing up and defending the gospel, no, it's true. When Tabitha is there listening, okay, now she can discern whether, is he a real Christian or is he just like the other ones that will just back down because he's the manager? Amen? I'm not saying to go start preaching and hailstorm and brimstone and fire and then all of a sudden, Brother Jeremy, you shared that word and now I'm unemployed. I don't mean it that way, but just be wise about all of this, okay? Let's throw that disclaimer out there. But Brother James, thank you for being my neighbor because I get to share. And a lot of the things, and you know, like 90% of the people that are a part of my life at both jobs, and you get to interact and meet them, and they love you for that, and it's amazing to see what the Lord is doing, and to see what's going on. And we have a friend named Luke. He's my manager from the warehouse. Lord's still working something inside of him and in his season. But I was ashamed for, I think, the first year working with him, a little intimidated to share. But God opened up a window for a short season last summer, and I took it. I was walking in the Spirit at this time, church. I developed, like Bishop always says, 15 years and then 15 years of prayer time. Of quality time with the Lord. Not just here. I can worship here in front of you. I can put on a show. I can dress up in this suit. And I love this pen. Thank you, Sister Darlene. I'm made in God's image. I can do all these things. And I can pay my tithes and offerings. But it's the quality time that I get to pray with the Lord and spend time. As soon as I walk here, I know the drive home, I'm going to be talking to him. When I get home, I will probably cook, and I will spend time talking to him. I'll probably lay on my face and just call out to the Lord, and then I will hear his voice, and then he'll speak to me in the dreams. I'm no one special. Bishop and Elder Miko and Sister Schoonover and Brother Reggie, they and Brother Brian, you guys know you guys have these prayer lives, and you hear his voice a lot. And I thank God for him tarrying with me, amen, to become a worthy vessel, something that he can actually speak to, speak through, and not hiding and covering all of my shame. Because that shame and guilt, it's below me now, and I'm able to open up, and it sets not just my ego, or it sets me free, but it's setting a captive free that's out there. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And that Son of Man is trying to operate through people that are walking with him, that are not hiding in the garden, but they are, when they hear him walking by in the cool of the day, they're walking towards that aisle. And Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to bring somebody here with me, Lord. I got to get him to heaven. Lord, you can use me. Amen. Let's go to, I'm going to slowly close with this, but it's Acts chapter 4. I know many of you know this setting. Peter and John are being questioned. They're being in front of all the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he says in verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers and people of elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, he just healed the lame man. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must save." Now here we go to verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," just normal people like us. There's a few of us that have gone to Bible school and Bible college and you've spent years learning, but the majority of us are just, we came to hear, you know, as what we gotten from, you know, maybe a little bit of Bible studies, but this hunger and these personal times, it develops something else. And here, let's read on. "An ignorant man, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that" what? "That they had been with Jesus." All of this came, this last part of the scripture that I wanted to share just came in the prayer room. Amen. First it was shame, public affection. And then there's condemnation, and I actually forgot to go in there, but that's, you guys read through Romans chapter 1, because it really represents this setting of this last hour. But if you see this context in the book of Acts with Peter and John, they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. They couldn't resist what was coming, what was flowing out of their mouths, because they were full. It says filled with the Holy Ghost. Something was coming out of there. There was words. We were saying in the discipleship class, there are things that are being uttered out that we do not even know that we're saying at times. There's scriptures that are popping in, that are flowing, but it's perfect, and it's an example. It's the glory for God for that person, for that family that's on the brink of divorce, for your coworkers that are nearly suffering depression and suicide. I want to close with this. Many of you know my two sisters in Spokane. They They got, there's things that are happening in their lives that are testing their faith right now. And they've got a pretty well-known church, pretty big, really nice, all the fancy bells and whistles and all that. But there's not enough saints with the personal, authentic relationship with the Lord. This church, I thank God for what God is doing inside of Life Church right now, and the way that the flow of the Holy Ghost is moving and the direction that Bishop is taking us and Sister Schoonover. It's not a show here. This is all real. The Word of God is alive, and it's trying to reach into somebody's heart. It's pricking you. There's some people in here that you're receiving this in your heart. You can feel it. They had been with Jesus. The more of this quality time, there's so much joy in it. There's so much of a release. You cast your cares upon the Lord on a Sunday evening at 2:30 to 4:30. It's not enough. Your Monday through Saturday, you gotta cast your cares upon Him every day, every night. And I'm not saying it has to be an altar. Maybe, you know, we say this a lot. You could just be in your car, but just spend that QT, that quality. Everyone say QT, quality time. Quality time. If you can walk out of here and just say, Lord, I might not have enough faith that I am going to be speaking great lectures unto a co-worker, but Lord, I want to spend time with You. I want to make a declaration right now that I want to change. I need to change from the first 3 years of this Jeremy Casa to the second year. I'm nobody special, but like with Bishop, his 15 years versus this last 15 years. God is calling this church and many individuals to push to a different dimension. Amen. To walk into a season of different grace. Walk into this to carry with them when I can't speak. My weakness, His strength is there. His strength is made perfect. Amen. Let's pray, and then I'm going to hand this over. Lord, I thank You, Jesus. Your word, Lord. Let no shame, Lord, go continue, Lord, with us here today. But Lord, we want to draw nigh unto You. Let us walk with You, Jesus. Lord, we want You as our strong tower, as our strong banner, Lord. We want to represent You, Lord, as You have called us. In the name of Jesus, there are souls in this place. You are speaking to their very hearts right now in this moment. That the desires of their heart are after You, Jesus. Call them into a season of prayer, Lord. Lord, leave the tabernacle. Find that young shepherd boy, Lord, on the hillside, Lord, calling after Your name. Lord, wash us with Your word. Lord, renew us here today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes.
Jesus. That was real, Brother Jeremy. I feel to say this. God's speaking to two groups today. He might be speaking to you. He might be imparting to you or challenging you or pricking something in your heart as the bride of Christ. I think there are people in this room who are being charged, who are being spoken and ministered to, directly to, because you're the bride of Christ. And then let me draw a contrast here. There's a second group in this room. And this isn't 30,000 feet in the air. This is here as we're sitting in these chairs today. He's also speaking to families. I feel a witness in the Spirit. He's speaking to spouses in this room. We came home. You can continue playing. Play softly. We came home after the wedding on Friday night, and I'll just be real with. We're being real today. It was a long week. It's been a long year. I'm just gonna be honest. And my wife and I have been married for a few years, right? We know how to deal with stress with busyness. We've everyone who's been married, say amen. We've gone ups and downs, and we're better for it, right? We thrive and survive and all of those things. And we grow together, and we learn from each other. And I think the more I get into this, the more I learn. When people say things like, keep God at the center of your life, of your marriage, you know what that really means to me now? That means that I'm not perfect and I'm going to fail and I'm not good enough and I can't do everything I need to do to make her feel everything she needs to feel. But God is my strength. God is my witness. God is my wisdom. God gives me peace. God gives me the grace and the words that I need to use for her, to minister to her. Just in the same way God gives her grace and strength and whatever she needs to minister to me. We're saying minister, but I'm not talking about we sit at home and preach to each other. I'm saying we live life together and we are exactly what we need for each other because God is at the center. That's what we aspire for. That's what we're trying for, right? Always, every day. But life gets busy. And life gets hard. And things get in the way, and then sometimes things distract you. And let me be honest with you. My wife and I have talked about this. Her love language, for Jeremy, spot on. Her love language, in which she receives love. Anyone familiar with that concept, love language? Is quality time. So I'm just sitting there this whole time. I turned to Bishop and it's like everything that he's saying. Like that passage in Genesis, that's been on my heart this weekend. And we came home, got home around 11. We're early bedtime people. Well, let me just say that. And we went to bed around 1:45 a.m. And here's how it started. It was a rough night. Because, as I say that, everyone knows what that means, especially if you're married or all the spouses in the room. It's, you know, conversations, quote unquote, talking, dealing with things, wink, wink. And things get aired out. You know, here's this thing, here's this thing, round two, you know, let's meet in the middle of the ring again. You know, okay, let me collect myself. I'm gonna go to the bathroom, come back. All right. I just thought of the next thing. And we're tired at the end of it. Just like a couple of boxers. What I'm so thankful for, I 1,000% believe that God gave us grace that night. Because in the past, and this is why I say I'm talking to spouses and not just the bride of Christ today. I'm talking to husbands. I'm talking to wives, potential husbands, future wives, all of those. In the past, I would have let my own objectives and my own point come across at any cost. Whatever I need to say to get that point across to her, right? I'm going to do that. I'm going to find the right thing to say. This argument's going to go as long as it needs to go until I get my point across. Or until the pain I know I felt is reciprocated to the other end. But God gave grace. God gave me strength. I'm so thankful. I can look back on it and say, that wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. Because God gave me the wisdom to admit fault to a few things. He gave me the peace to say, why don't you just admit fault to something here? Why don't you say that this right here, if you just fix this and tell her, you know, this is the thing right here. Just see how she responds. We go down that road. And by the end of the night, we're telling each other, we're going through stories of just, we know that we're the right people for each other. By the end of the night. I mean, what started as this, oh my goodness, this plane is headed, crash landing, here we come. All of a sudden, we're reliving old memories and talking about why it is, like, how thankful we are, how grateful we are. This doesn't happen every time. And I'm not saying that that's what a spouse in this room might need. Quality time. It extends to everyone here who has a person, all the husbands, all the wives, and it extends to the bride of Christ, everyone in this room. Here's what we started talking about. My struggle, my personality, the way that I am naturally, I struggle with sometimes words of affirmation. That's another love language, FYI. It's giving sincere words of affirmation. I actually do that just fine in a group setting. Like I don't know if it's my background as a preacher's kid or whatever, but like in the mic, it's easier almost. But in private, with someone who I see all the time, Monday through Friday, whatever it is, that can be harder to have a real conversation. That is a hard thing for me to do sometimes. It's that relative. It's that close person who can be hard to deliver a word to. But a friend I haven't seen in forever, I could be as deep as I need to be. But God gives grace. His grace is sufficient for you. It's just enough for what you need. It's just enough to fill in your weakness, to stand in the gap for what you can't do yourself. I'm speaking to someone today. Brother Jeremy was speaking to someone today. Really quickly, I'm just going to read this. Ephesians 5, later in the chapter, he says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. He's the husband. We are the bride of Christ, right? For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I am the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are charged to reverence Christ. Hold him in high regard. Be the walking banners for him in this world. Amen. At the same time, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. In other words, he that can't love his wife can't love himself. Taking further, if you struggle with loving your wife, you might also struggle with loving yourself. Jesus. That's it. Let's all stand. Again, he's making two calls today. As I open up these altars, as you're welcome to come up and pray and communicate with the Lord is making two calls today. The first is to those of you who need some quality time with the Lord. Quality time outside of just this sanctuary, outside of just this building, but Monday through Friday, so that you can flow based on that foundation that you have with him that is built on quality time. Amen. And then for some of you in this room, he's making a call. He's making a call. Concerning your relationships today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. These altars are open. Hallelujah. Come on, if you need his strength today, if you need his wisdom today, I believe he can quicken someone's heart today. Come on, he can be what he needs to be in your life. So that